This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Guess what? It's Thursday, January 21st. It's time for your Thursday conversation. You know, last week we focused on the miners. I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun if we could focus on them again today? Because I know many of them are on your minds as we begin 2021. So joining us for today's Thursday conversation is someone I consider an old friend. I call him Mickey. You may call him the mercenary geologist. I'm not sure what other people call him, but he's always welcome here at TFMR. My friend Mickey, nice to visit with you, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Craig. And yeah, I'm old and I admit it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Nothing you can do about it, so you ought to be happy with it, right?
I've been joking. I have a birthday coming up in a week, and I'm moving up an age bracket. I'm now going to be in the 55 to 64 bracket. We're almost in the same bracket, Mickey.
I've got a few years on that, but my birthday is 2 weeks from today. So
how about that?
I suppose are you an Aquarian?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, my friend.
Likewise.
That must be why we're such good pals.
Yeah, it must be. We go with the flow, right?
What choice do we have? Goodness gracious. All right. Well, before we get started, what's fantastic about your service is it's free. Now, a lot of times, anything that's free is like, well, geez, you know, what value is there to that? There is tremendous value in what Mickey does. To receive his newsletter, you just simply give him your email address. And you can follow him on Twitter and everything else. But I don't need to explain that to everyone. I'll let you do it, Mickey. Tell everybody about what you do for a living.
Yeah, well, let me tell you first, you got to give me more than an email address. You got to give me a name. But we don't care. You can fake your name, but the email address has to be working. I run mercenarygeologist.com, a couple of months shy of going into its 13th year.
Wow. Yep.
So we started in April of 2008, because by hook or by crook, I saw what was happening and other newsletter writers were getting beat up for bad picks. And I said, now's the time to start. And it's been quite successful. Website is mercenarygeologist.com. I run a sponsor model. And so it's free to subscribers. At last count, as of the end of December, we had about 8,600+ followers or subscribers. Got ahead of myself. And we've got a very active Twitter account now at 49,886 followers. And Jack the Hack Dorsey has carved away about 1% of my followers since January 6th.
Yeah, yeah, I've noticed that too. Did you breach 50,000 briefly?
Oh, we have been as high as 63,900 before Twitter started the big purges, and that was in the fall of 2017, I think. So,
yeah, you know, I wonder too if people just are like, it's such a heavily regulated and censored environment now that I've found more people than ever just have given up on it. And that probably has something to do with it too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll weigh in politically, hopefully without ruffling too many feathers.
Good luck.
Dangerous to do that now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a libertarian, as I know you are.
Yep.
And free speech advocate, NAP, non-aggression policy, constitutionalist, and devoted to individual rights and freedoms. And what's going on right now is a bit scary.
But
that's not why we are talking today.
Well, and I know many people are disappointed that the Fulp-Hemke ticket never really got anywhere.
That was going nowhere, mate. Because I have been too unfiltered with my views from, well, geez, you know, in first grade I got all A's, but I got marked down for tends to daydream in class, does not always play well with others, does not listen to his teachers, etc.
So, therefore, it's not surprising you found this field, man, out there picking at rocks and living your dream basically all by yourself.
Well, I decided very early on in my geology career, I was made a manager of 25 people at age 32, and I immediately discovered that I was more comfortable banging on rocks than banging on people.
Yeah, I understand. Well, my friend, let's dive in. Like I said, I'm focusing a little bit on the shares and the sector here in the early part of January. And I want to ask you generally about the sector. I know a lot of folks, myself included, I was expecting maybe a little higher percentage gain out of the shares, given what we had in the metals in the last calendar year. But you were warning us as you know, as soon as May and into June that it may not work out that way. So kudos on that. But now that's behind us. What do you think? I mean, if we keep the metals rallying this year, will we do a little bit better this year? Or what are your thoughts?
Well, let's look in retrospect. And what I saw in May when we last talked, I was beginning to see a boom led by, of course, the price of gold, which was really started to go up in mid-May of last year. And I started seeing this feeding frenzy of people could not buy quick enough. Private placements would be announced and they would be immediately filled, and the stock would be trading at a significant premium to the private placement even before it was closed in its 30-day reserve period. And I go, I've seen this story before. I saw it in 2008, saw it in 2011. I saw it more subdued, but same thing happened in 2016, in the summer of 2016. And I started warning people. As a result, I did not participate in one private placement during the feeding frenzy, because I figured when all this paper became free trading, there was $3 billion worth of paper created from May through October, and so 4 months old, and that paper, the May paper, started coming out in late September, about the time that you saw the markets start to go down, especially, let me put it that way, in gold space. So we just overwhelmed the system, and starting in October, we saw that come to pass with share prices sequentially peaking throughout the summer, not all at once, but they started to go south a bit in October, and it really hit in conjunction with tax loss season in December, and we're still seeing the ramifications of that. So I look at my portfolio, about 35 junior stocks, and they average in a perusal, and I'm pretty good at math in my head, I'm a numbers wonk, probably average across the board 50%, trading at 50% of their 52-week highs. So you can, segueing to what's coming, you can look at it one of two ways, and I'm going to give you those ways, and I'm not going to really pontificate on which one I think is right or say this is right and this is wrong. You can either look at junior exploration and mining stocks right now as a buying opportunity, or you can look at them as when they get back to the levels that you played the private placement, you might be a seller. I sold the junior resource stocks starting in the early summer, and I sold through December. As these things would hit sequential highs, I'd be right there with open orders to sell, to take money off the table. I'm very heavy into cash right now. Probably close to 50% of my net assets are in U.S. dollars. Not where I want to be for macroeconomic reasons, but I was lucky enough to take money off the table at opportune times. Going forward, I am bullish on the metals going for 2021. I just can't tell you, make predictions. I don't want to even go there. I will say that, in my opinion, all the major metals, let's say the world exchange traded metals, will end up at the end of 2021 higher than they were at the beginning of 2021.
Is there something you'll be watching that will lead you to put some of that cash back to work?
Yeah, at some point stocks are going to get too low, good stocks. I thought it, and some of them did during tax loss season, but what I figured out is tax loss season is starting about a month and a half earlier now than it did. And you know, I'm going to take some credit for that, because about 5 years ago, I started talking and writing about December 15th, and that was when the Toronto Venture Exchange had serially hit its bottom for 8 or 9 of the last 10 years. And that was the end of tax loss season, where people were just, there were no bids and except stink bids, and they hit those bids because they need to burn off their profits for capital gains purposes. We went public with that and in writings, at shows, on podcasts, on videos. And I think it made people look at what the smart money was doing, and that's selling earlier and earlier. So regardless, it's all on record. It's all on my website. When stocks that are fundamentally strong hit these interim lows, those present buying opportunities. I haven't really bought much over the last few months, just few specific stocks here and there when they get beaten down and oversold. But lots of cash and looking for opportunities, looking for new ideas, in new hot commodities or commodities that I think may become hot going forward. So strategic movement of capital out of cash into junior stocks at this time.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of those other commodities then too. And then maybe we'll wrap up with a couple of specific names that I know some people brought up last week and see what else is on your mind. One thing I didn't ask Brent and Joe about last week was uranium. And it has come up more frequently in the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks than I can recall for the last 4 to 6 years maybe. It's been a while. And I know some of those uranium miners have, you know, kind of caught fire a little bit. What do you think? What do you think of uranium's prospects for this year and then some of the miners?
Well, I'll go back to a decade ago, or less than a decade ago, a little less than a decade ago. And the end of February in 2011, uranium peaked. Then we had Fukushima. It was in the toilet now for nearly 10 years.
Yep.
In 2012, I went to a uranium conference in Casper, Wyoming, arguably the heart of the U.S. ISR mining uranium industry. And I gave a talk called Why I Remain a Uranium Bull. Boy, was I wrong.
How many people were there? Five?
No, in 2012.
There were still few people.
It was an industry, a society of mining metallurgy and exploration. So it was a bunch of industry employed miners and analysts and CEOs and uranium geologists. So it was packed.
Okay.
Couldn't get a hotel room in Casper, Wyoming. Which,
well, there you go.
That's
all right.
Lots of rooms.
Wait, so you were bullish then.
And I stayed bullish for years. And after a while, I go, well, this is dumb because I keep predicting these points in the future where the uranium price is going to turn around, and it doesn't. So I'm going to quit predicting it. But what I have done over the years is I've added on to my positions in very select uranium stocks, and that would include U.S., all domestic companies, U.S.-based producers, developers, and the occasional explorer. And so there are not that very many names, and
no.
People can do their own due diligence, but I own them, and I'm happy to own them. And, I'm a contrarian. I buy when others are selling. And when others are selling, I'm buying. So, uranium stocks have, for the most part, doubled over the last 2 or 3 months. And despite no rise in the spot price of uranium.
Right.
Spot price of uranium went below $30 again yesterday. Barely below. It's $29.95 yesterday. It lost 22 cents. So they are moving outside, or they are foreshadowing or front running the uranium price. Usually that's not the case. Because of this idea, well, there's a couple of macro things that have stimulated uranium companies. Cigar Lake shut down again. The Kazakhs cut production again in 2020 because no one makes money at $30 uranium mm-hmm. with all-in costs, including costs of capital, et cetera. The U.S. Congress passed out of a Senate committee 2 or 3 weeks ago Trump's proposal to create a strategic uranium reserve. Pardon me. He wanted $150 million. Congress gave him $75 million. And so that is part of it. But let's do the math. $75 million at $30 a pound is 2.5 million pounds of uranium. And that's about 2 weeks of annual supply, but it's a start. And the other thing I think that's been a stimulus to the stocks is the Democrats' platform is pro-nuclear energy for the first time since 1972.
Yeah.
38 years.
50,
wow.
48.
Pardon?
48.
48 years. Pardon me. I used to be good at doing math.
I know. It's okay.
I think I just had a Joe Biden moment.
Yeah, me too.
Pardon me. That's a joke, folks.
Well, and it has. And obviously you talk about other, not just precious metals at your website. And so along those lines, because I we'll wrap up with precious metals again, but along those lines, things are really moving in the base metals too, whether it's nickel, zinc, copper. We're doing
well,
a lot of talk about
copper, Craig.
That's it. That was going to be my intro line for you.
I'm
sorry. Covered politics and uranium. We got to cover something less radioactive.
Like minds think alike, I suppose.
There you go. Well, let's talk about copper because it's 8-year highs, right? What do you think? I mean, and then maybe a couple of names you like. I know last week when we were talking with Joe and Brent, they mentioned, and a lot of people on my site were asking about Trilogy. I know that might be one that's in your wheelhouse too.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a shareholder at Trilogy. They sponsor my website, and they have for almost 4 years now. So the best undeveloped copper deposits, giant high-grade two deposits in the in geopolitical safe. Let me say that again. In a geopolitically safe jurisdiction.
Got it.
In Northwest Alaska. I'm very bullish on copper. In fact, of all the metals, I don't really know where gold is going to go this year. We know that with all this fiat creation and the Fed policy and buyback of corporate bonds and modern monetary theory, which is simply pseudoscience in my opinion, that gold will do well. I can't tell you when. Copper, I think, you know, and its basic fundamentals. The world uses 3.4% more copper and has yearly annualized since 1900. So there's a dearth of developable high-grade copper deposits. So that's the choice. And then zinc and nickel have been following the charts of copper for the last 6 months. Pull up a six-month chart of copper and then overlay zinc and nickel on it. Now, nickel is going to be much more volatile because it it's a much smaller market. It's only, what, doing the math in my head, and I'm usually pretty good at doing that. So about 15 times less nickel mined every year than copper. So as a result, it's more volatile. But bullish on the base metals. And if the Biden administration follows up with what they say they're going to try to do, which is infrastructure build out, which mimics what China is doing right now, that's extremely bullish for the base metals.
Yeah. Ed, we mentioned Trilogy. You like Trilogy. You want to maybe throw one more out there that you think is in the base metal area?
Yeah. So I own this stock. As opposed to Trilogy, they are not currently a sponsor. And that's Barksdale Resources.
Hmm.
Bro on the Venture Exchange. They have very interesting projects in the Patagonia area of Southeast Arizona. It's adjacent, adjoining, in the same district as Arizona Mining, which was taken over by South 32 for $1.6 billion, two and a half years ago, if memory serves. So led by experienced people and some really interesting geology and prospects for Barksdale Resources. And I'm a shareholder, so I'm conflicted there too.
All right. Well, let's in our time remaining, how about silver? In that, I find silver fascinating. I was just just at this present time in particular, because it's like caught in the middle. You know, a lot of folks might, you know, we see it as its former role as a monetary metal and wonder, you know, if it can be that again. And then, but you know, the vast majority of the world sees it as a commodity, as an industrial metal. You know, and so it's kind of caught in the middle. You know, these industrial metals and base metals are all doing great, and gold's kind of for the last 5 months, and silver's like right in between. It's doing okay, and you can see that in the silver miners. You know, the gold mining ETFs not doing so great, but the junior silver mining ETFs not too bad. So, what do you think? I guess, what are your thoughts about silver for this year? Is it going to act more like an industrial metal? And then, I don't know, you got any names there you want to just throw out for fun?
So, you know, I have to pontificate a bit. So,
go ahead.
When you said caught in the middle, it reminded me of a Ry Cooder song from his album called Jazz. And it's smack dab in the middle. And if you're a Ry Cooder fan or Americana music fan, go listen to that song. And it is. It doesn't know if it's a precious metal or an industrial metal. And it really is an industrial metal. Only about, 40% is hoarded or using jewelry. I liked silver when the gold-silver ratio reached 123.5 back in, what would it have been? March. Maybe July or August. I like it less now because that ratio has gone back to within normal range. It's in the low 70s, which about 20% of its trading history since 1971, it's traded between in with a ratio, gold-silver ratio of 70 to 80. So I like it less now. I'm not a silver bug, never have been. I've written about this. I've shown people why it will never go back to the fixed ratio of 16 to 1 back when the U.S. government tried to fix the price of silver through 1893. So I don't really play silver miners. It's really hard to find a pure silver play because they generally tend to be lead zinc plays. And that, so you're dependent on the price from the smelter that they will give you for your zinc and lead zinc and or lead concentrates. If people are interested, we just posted, and this was actually supposed to be posted tomorrow on my Twitter feed, but it says it's been 41 years today. Silver hit an all-time high of 49.45. Then came the inevitable parabolic collapse. And it's a series of three tweets. We show the chart 2010, 2011, and then we show a 51-year chart from 1970. And the headline is Buyer Beware. Exponential rises always beget parabolic falls. So it's got a long ways to go. We haven't got to a parabolic spike yet. But it really is dependent on the price of gold. Yeah. It's in a normal range right now. And if gold goes up again, silver will either lead or follow. But rest assured, it will be more volatile on both the upside and downside than gold, and that's just because it's a bipolar metal, and it is a much smaller market.
Right. All right, my friend, let's wrap up by telling everybody again where they can find you and how they receive your updates.
MercenaryGeology.com is the website. Go to the front page. Right below my mugshot is a button you click. Give us a name, an email address, and you will immediately receive a reply and give you access to two or three musings that I've recently written, including a stock pick. And the Twitter feed at Mercenary Geo. I'm going to check and see, make sure we haven't lost any more followers.
Oh, look and see if in the last
in
half.
Our Twitter know. Talk. We've lost three followers since we started this talk.
At least now, they didn't deplatform you in the last half hour.
83.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Mickey, thank you. Always such valuable information and a very valuable service. And I'll say the same thing that I say all the time. I mean, if you're going to try to make a little fiat in the mining sector, and you need some experts on your side. You just can't really do it yourself unless you're already an expert, and very few of us are. But Mickey Fulp is an expert and somebody you want to have in your corner. So, Mickey, thank you so much for your time. I didn't realize it's been since May since we spoke. We're going to fix that little problem. We're going to talk again soon.
Hey, all you have to do is request. I'm a yes man. I do not say no. I mean, I may say I can't do it today or tomorrow, but let's arrange a time. So thanks for the opportunity once again, Craig, and can't wait to get back to the heartland soon, about 6 weeks, and I'll be there again.
It's God country out here. We'll welcome you back, I can tell you that.
It is, and I look forward to it.
All right, my friend, thank you, and thank everybody. I very much appreciate you listening, and see if we can have another Thursday conversation next week.